You are listening to the audio preaching podcast from North Valley Baptist Church in Santa Clara, California, led by Pastor Jack Treiber. Though located in the heart of the Silicon Valley, you will hear fervent, old-fashioned revival preaching from the pulpit of North Valley Baptist Church. It is our desire that you will be helped by this gospel message.
Take your Bibles, please, 2 Samuel in chapter 23 today. 2 Samuel 23, I believe, I think I should look back. I've been preaching a lot about 2 Samuel lately, and I've been in my own personal Bible reading. I keep getting stuck, and good scriptures here. They're all good. All the double books are together, 1 and 2 Samuel, 1 and 2 Kings, and 1 and 2 Chronicles. And when you get to 2 Samuel 23, I love the story because David has come to the end of his life. And the Bible says, this be the last words of David. I think the last words of a person are very powerful words. As you draw closer, and I don't know, some of you maybe going to pass away early in life, but as you get older in life, be sure you leave deposits in the lives of your children and your mate and your grandchildren. Tell, I love you so much. I'm so grateful for you. I think if we get younger in life, perhaps we can find fault with people easily. David's going to show us in a minute. He's nearing the shore. And so I want to talk to you about my friends. I don't believe I'm on the next load out. I think I'm going to live a long time and torment you as long as I can. Some say, well, next year it's 50 years. You've been here 50 years. Well, I promised you I'd give you 50 years with 20 people were here. But all those folks are dead, so I haven't promised you anything. I'm going on. I'll tell you that right now. Brother Romero, good to have your mom with us today. But I want you to know I'm looking forward to life. I'm young and energetic. Most people put me at about 28, 29 years of age. That's going to cost you another 15 minutes of message right there. Because now I'm ticked off, so I got to get spiritual again. But it's amazing. I think of my family all day long, all the time. I just can't get my family. There's 22 of us now. Just my wife and I 50-some years ago. Now our kids are all married, our grandkids. I think about them all the time. And they text me, they'll call me, those grandkids, I love them. Don't talk to the parents, care less about the parents. Those grandkids are special. And God knows it's true. I think about you all the time, this church. I was with the ushers, I just thought of this last night. I said, who sits right down there? I said, Ben. Who sits right there? Brother Jakob, his wife. Who sits? We went through this whole section. I know where you sit. I'll be on planes all the time, and I'm on a plane at 38,000 feet, I'm thinking about you. Brother Abel, it's your wife's birthday yesterday. I thought about you folks, and Manola, you've been so faithful. I'm good to say, I think about God's people. Amen. I never thought I could be a pastor. I didn't study for it in Bible college because I knew I'd get nervous and start to stutter, and I'd get nervous and break out in sweat, and I had to just talk. I wasn't good at it. I couldn't pass Hebrew and Greek. I knew I couldn't take that class, and you had to have that to be a minister of the gospel. Know the languages, I couldn't do that. But I tell you, when God let me go in the ministry 53 years ago, it was His grace. And then when you let me come here, I've just been so overwhelmed. I think about you all the time. I go to the cemetery, walk out there. We have all these cemeteries where people are late to rest. And I stop at the markers of all these, from the baby land nursery area in the cemeteries to teenagers to young adults to your loved ones. And I go out there to pray in different cemeteries around here. I think of your family. I think as a person ages in life, that's what happens. I can't get you off my mind. And that's what David said, these be my last words. He talked about his own life, how that a king should bring like a dew in the morning. And he should have a family that's great. But he says in verse 5, although it not be so with my family. He failed himself and he failed God. He sinned and he recalls that, and his own kids all messed up. And he's really with heartache in his heart. And I said, I want to tell you about my friends. I have so many preacher friends all over this country. We have so many radio friends all over this country and world. Every known country in the world right now is watching this service, and they'll watch before the day is over. Many will come home from church tonight, different time zones, and they'll sit down with their popcorn and root beer and watch our service tonight. God's been so good to us.
Amen.
David says, I want to tell you about my friends. I want to look at one of those friends in particular, but let's introduce these three friends, and then he gives other friends beyond that. But he says in 2 Samuel, in verse number 7, these be the names of the mighty men that David had. The first one was a political leader. He said that Tekmite, who is in the seat, chief among the captives, to be in the seat of a city, that means you were a political leader. And he said he was the chief, and he said his name was Adino. I don't think many of us name our kids Adino. But he lifted up his spears again, 800, and he slew them all one time. This man was a mighty man. All three of these men, great character, great valor, great bravery, great strength, great loyalty. And I look at that, what God has done for us here, the 49 years we've been with you. So many that go on the other side, they're in heaven, and they're scattered all over the globe. I've had 39 men, you're not leaving. 39 men sit in that chair right there that are pastoring churches now. It's been amazing to see what God has done. Our college, thank you, you college men and ladies, almost 1,200 Bible college graduates serving God all over the world today. I got a letter from a missionary, one of our students visiting in a faraway country, and he said, look, I got here Golden State graduates. I didn't even know they're going to be here. It's just an amazing thing to see what God is doing. And the radio and the live stream and the publications, and our young people are serving God with their lives. Every year we have 50 to 60. Next year looks like we'll have closer to 70 of our own kids in Bible college training to serve God. And none of this I say boastful. You're looking at the stutter. You look at the guy that can't pass Greek and Hebrew. You look at the guy that had to take remedial English because I was goofing off in high school. I just worked, never went up to school very much. I'm not boasting about me at all. There's nothing to boast. No talent that I bring. I did bring a heart for God and a heart for the people of God. And I'm so burdened. I've watched for 50 years now, 53 years, how God's church has changed. And it burns my heart. Here's this man, Adino. The second man was Eleazar. The Bible says after him was Eleazar, the son of Dodo. Hey, what's your dad's name? Dodo. Oh my goodness, these names. He was one of the three mighty men of David. Look what happened to him, verse 10. He arose and he smote the Philistines until his hand was weary and his hand clave to the sword. And the Lord brought a great victory. What do you mean? That hand just froze in place. It just froze in place to that sword. He goes, I'm going to finish this battle. And so we have Adino. And we don't need to go back on him. And Eleazar, son of Dodo. And we won't go back and look at him. But I want you to see this next man. Shamna was his name. The Bible says in verse 11, after him was Shaman, the son of Agee, the Herite, and the Philistines were gathered together in a troop. Now watch this. There was a piece of ground full of lentils. A piece of ground full of lentils. Lentils is several definitions of lentils. We hear about lentil soup, but lentils is a grain. It's a barley. It's also referred to as a root left over after you harvest. The root there, it's worthless. I tell you what, we talk about lentil soup. I like vegetable soup. I'm going to have you vote in a minute. I like clam chowder. Brother Gong, are you listening to me? I love clam chowder. And I love my wife's vegetable soup. Oh, I could hardly wait till winter time come and fall. She makes that, oh, it's great. I love, also homemade, I like that. I like chicken noodle soup in the can. My wife says, you can't, that's 10 and can't, you can't eat that. In the winter, I love it because it's so full of sodium. I promised the doctor about 5 years ago, okay, I'm not going to touch a salt shaker. In 5 years, I haven't touched a salt shaker. But I tell you what, I get these chips. I make sure it has a ton of salt on them. I lick it all off, throw the chip away. I'm not salting anything, but I'm finding salt. And that chicken noodle soup, how many tomato soup lovers do we have here? Yeah, that's good stuff. How many chicken noodle soup people? How many clam chowder people? You folks like everything? Well, let's go. We're going on a diet. Next week I'm preaching about our diet. How about vegetable soup? Vegetable soup. Vegetable soup. Now here's my one I want to ask. You look too normal to. How about lentil soup? Bill Shilton. I rest my case. Bill Shilton. One nut case. Lentil soup, you got to be kidding. Now, they put things in it. They could put sausage in it. They could put carrots in it. They could put celery in it. But you know what lentil is, basically? I was going to go to Walmart Market and have this thing all lined up. It's beans. I was going to get, but I got thinking, if I get all that up here, I'm so hungry by the time it gets to this point here. In fact, I think I'm going to get it done real early so I can go eat. But pork and beans and green beans and pinto beans. I'm going to have all the beans lined up. This guy, Shaman, had a bean field. I can see wanting to fight and protect these men. I can see that. I hope I would take a bullet for him. I've thought through scenarios if some fool would come in here and try to hurt you. I think I know what I would do. And I've practiced it. I'd take a bullet for my wife. I mean, I owe that lady so much, I'd do anything for her. It's not legal, but if one of my kids or grandkids needed a heart, I'd say, mine's strong. You can have my heart. I'll take it out and give it to you and I'll die. I know that's not legal to do that, but I think that's how you feel. There are certain things that are so valuable to me. I'd fight for it. Amen. I'd get my hand on the sword and fight like Adino did. I think I would be like Eleazar. But Shammah? Look what the Bible says, what he thought was so valuable. Verse 11, and after him was Shammah, the son of Agi, the Harite. And the Philistines were gathered together into a troop where there was a piece of ground full of lentils. And the people fled from the Philistines. All his friends are gone. All the military has left him. He's alone in his field. And the Bible says he stood in the midst of the ground, right smack dab in the center. Why? Because he didn't want them coming from any direction. He said, I'm out here. You come from the north, you come from the south, you come from the east. I've got my eye on every piece of area where you could come in. All the boundary lines, I got you. You coming from the south, I'm going after you. You come on. He said he stood in the midst of the ground. What ground? Where these old roots were. What ground? Where there were lentils. What ground? Where it's just a useless field. But he said, I want to tell you something. I stood in the midst of the ground and defended it. And I saluted the Philistines. I want you to think with me as I speak to you, defend your field. Defend your bean field that's so worthless to others, but it's valuable to you. I want to say, one, find something that's important and defend it. Secondly, find something that perhaps would seem unimportant to others. I wonder how many people think your marriage is important. I wonder how many people think your kids are really important. Oh, that kid. I wonder how many people think, and I know you parents too, and school teachers, these teenagers. You know these teens nowadays, how they are. I do. I want to tell you how they are. They're at a whole higher level than I was. They made some good decisions with their life. I never had to make a decision on a cell phone. I had to protect myself from vile things on a cell phone. They didn't have cell phones. We had party lines. We had one phone for the street. It was in our front yard in a little green box called a telephone booth. I didn't have to fight against the internet like they have to. And the society we live in, and the 108,000 teenagers that died on the streets of America last year with fentanyl. Marijuana was not legal in the 60s, even though at Haight-Ashbury up here when I was in high school, they had it. You couldn't bring that on the campuses of our school. We got married. If we had a baby in that first year, if we would have had a baby, you could not have aborted that baby in America. That came after our marriage. So you go ahead and criticize teenagers if you want to. But I tell you what, these bus kids here, I mean, we give them no money to come to church. They just come. I watch them today again, hold a psalm book in their hand and try to sing these great hymns of the faith. And they inspire me every week I see them. They know that. I came into some of these young girls that saw them walking in this building after Sunday school, and they talked so kindly to me today. I thank God for the 1. Nearly 6 million young people that have ridden our buses to this church in 49 years.
Amen.
Thank God for who they are. They get themselves up in the morning. They get themselves ready. They get on a bus and go to a church and have a Sunday school teacher, then have a preacher yell and scream at them, try to pull for their life. And they come week after week, and they're just one segment of 4 different divisions of bus kids. Don't fault those kids. They're going to schools that I never, even in the 60s in high school, it wasn't like it is today. We had no fences around our school. We had zero police at the school. We had zero marijuana and needles and drugs and fentanyl. We had zero pornography. You could just go and get it on a phone. You could get it in a store. I'm talking about in this area right here, where we are right here. I grew up right here, 15 minutes from it. On Sunday, you could not go get gasoline in this area or go to the grocery store. Why? Because Sunday was God's day and the places were closed. And I still had a hard time being a good Christian. In those days, churches were open. Nazarenes, Methodists, Presbyterians, Baptists, Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night. But now the churches are closed. Shame on every preacher that closes his church. In a day where so much the more we need more preaching and more church and more singing and more opportunity to train the people to get ready for these last days that we're living in, and we're building million-dollar buildings and then shutting the lights off. Sunday night, Wednesday night. Brother Bunker, I got saved on a Sunday night at church. We had no electricity, but we had lanterns going that night. I got saved on a Sunday night. I got right with God many times on a Sunday night. We're not going to close the doors here in these last days on Sunday night and Wednesday night in this church.
Amen.
This guy had a field. You're going to have to find something that's important to you. You're going to have to find something that other people think. A bean field? Those rebellious kids? Those grandkids? They just drive me crazy. Or you're a fool. Oh, I tell you what. My granddaughter's in college. And she's been texting me and, of course, my wife this week. And the students are not yet on campus, but she had to come back early. And I just feel so sad for her on that campus. We're just a few kids. And she'll text back and forth, and we've talked. I have a granddaughter got off work last night, and she said, Papa, here's how I did at work tonight. I'm glad they want us in their life. I want to be in their life. You say, are they perfect? Well, about as perfect as you can get. But I'll tell you this. They're a lot better kids than I was. Never give up on your bean field. Your marriage. I'm going to tell you something about marriage. I know you want to know what one of the big problems of marriage. Women, are you ready for this? I know you can't say that in America now. Women don't think like men. That's the problem. Thank you, ladies, for not thinking like us, because we're normally wrong. Well, you know you can't say that. Okay, you're always right. You know what? Marriage is wonderful. If you're married, you say, well, I'm divorced. Well, God bless you. You're at church. I'm so tired of people thinking they're second rate because they were alcoholics. I think of your book that you wrote, you're going to be saved 3 years, Brother Raymond. We could put that book down, 500 pages or so. Rock and Roll King, played in these coliseums right before all the big groups came and all these different places where he'd play. Began drinking in second grade right here in San Jose. Would go to school drunk as an elementary kid. Drugs, rolling the car on 680 and 280. But he knew something was missing. And went online to find, where can I find? He said, I rode a bus one time in San Jose to a church. And he looked for a church, and North Valley Baptist popped up, and he talked to you. You met him here on Sunday morning several years ago. He got saved. His life is just amazing.
Praise God. Praise the Lord.
So, well, I was a drunk. Well, that means you and I are at the same level because I was a sinner. As all have sinned. I'm no better than a drunk. Some of you have battled drugs and you're still battling. You're in church today. Oh, you filthy people, you shouldn't be here. Are you kidding me? That means there's some character in your heart. You're seeking to get some answers for your life.
Yes.
Well, I'm divorced. Well, I know. And I hurt for you. Maybe it was your fault. Maybe it was her fault. Maybe it was his fault. I don't know whose fault it was, but you're in church.
Amen.
Well, we failed with our kids. Our kids haven't turned out. Well, I'm telling you something. You can turn out. And when they see you lying in the casket, they say, my dad, my mother, my grandparents lived for God a lifetime. I'm going to too. I'm going to change things in my life. You defend what my marriage means something. I don't know if it means anybody else. It means something to me. Mean something to her. Our kids mean something. It's just a bean field. Our grandkids, it means something to us. Hey, what is it that God has put in your hand? And the other people around you say, it doesn't mean much. It means everything.
Amen.
I want you to see that he had a bean field. You find something that's important to you. And then give your life thirdly to it. Just give your life to it. You try to attack my wife. You try to attack her. You just try. You're not attacking my wife. Go ahead, attack our kids and their mates. You try. They're valuable to us. You try to attack our grandkids. They're valuable to us. Give your life to your kids. Give your life to your marriage. Give your life to your family. Your career is not as important as your family. Papa, you got a minute to talk to me? I sure do. My life is so busy. It's all the time. But I tell you what, if my children have a need or our grandchildren, I'll take any time. My wife the same. You know what's a bean field to maybe someone else in this area is this church. This church maybe doesn't mean anything to many people around here. Some folks may not even like this church. But you try to attack this church. The church is not the building. The church is the people. There's not a pastor in America that's ever, and I truly believe this, has ever pastored a greater church. Oh, we've always had problems. We've always had difficulty. We've never had enough money. It just goes on and on. We've always had God's people. You remember COVID? For 472 days, we were not allowed in here. We met out there in that parking lot in a big stadium, and you drove in there and honked the horn when I'd preach. Listen, on the radios out here, people would line up these parking lots here and this way, and had a big old line, bumper to bumper, 30 rows deep, and then all the way back. And then some would have to come down this. I can remember folks sitting on this road. They couldn't see it, but they listened to the radio. They came to, we wanted the house of God. Yeah. And I tell you what these ladies did and their children. There wasn't a day go by over at Clyde Avenue. You'd go by almost any time. You'd see a mother in the little patch of grass we have out there on her knees. Her children weren't permitted to go to school. And with her little children, you go any time of the day, Brother David, you'd see ladies out there praying. Brother John, you had all those deacons, and Brother Manuel, so many of you, every night, 9 o'clock out here on these steps, kneeling and praying. You come by here, you'd see always men praying, ladies praying, children praying, teenagers praying, college students praying. God, open up our church. God, bring America back to you. You know those depressing days were days of revival for the North Valley Baptist Church. We were having 10,000 and 15,000. Listen, all of a sudden, to the services, 50,000 were watching and 100,000 were watching. We made a video, 2 million people watched it about what was happening. I go everywhere I go, people say, you're the church in California. Yes. We met together here for a while, and every service, $5,000 fine to come to church. I tell you what, God's people didn't quit. God met with us, Brother Van Dyke, out in the parking lot.
Yes.
9 tents out there in addition, and heaters out there. We gave blankets to the ladies. I'm thinking, Brother Mike Kirby's dearest wife, our school secretary that passed away with cancer, went home to be with the Lord. And I said, Jean, please don't come. It's cold out here. He says, I need church. She was young. I need church. I want church. I want my children to see that Mama loves church. My family needs church. I go to that marker and see where she's laid to rest. It's just overwhelming to pastor people. You know what? This church means nothing to some, but it's our bean field. It means a lot to me.
Amen.
I say tonight that today, church, it means so much. Let's keep the songbooks here. And those notes and those words, and let's keep preaching hot. Let's keep the invitation going. Let's keep welcoming people to the house of God. I tell you what, it means a lot to me, Brother Sister Wong, is America.
Amen.
A lot of you have lived in countries of suppression, and you come to a free country, and they're the ones pulling for America many times more than we that live here. They know what it's like. to have government regulate your faith. That's why it says no law. We came here for religious freedom. We didn't come here for legalizing every sin. Well, America's not that big a deal. It's my bean field.
Amen.
I see that flag. Boy, I see it. I always, when it's coming down these aisles, I watch you stand and with reverence put your hand over your heart. And we say, I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America.
Amen.
And to the republic. It is not a democracy. We're a republic. A democracy says 51 can squash the other 49%. A republic means all are endowed with inalienable rights from their creator. That's a republic. And to the republic for which it stands, one nation. By the way, you from all these other countries, including my family from Germany. That's what makes us all so special in America. America wants us. We want you from your country. One nation under God.
Amen.
Indivisible. You know what a lot of this politics is doing? It's trying to divide us. Liberty and justice for some, for all. It's just a bean field. My marriage, my kids, my grandkids, the church, America, the Jews. They're just a bean field. God says, I'll bless the nation that blesses Israel. And I'll curse the nation that curses Israel. Mr. Biden, I wish you'd listen. Miss whatever her first name is, Harris, never heard her voice. I wish, and you're, whoever your running mate is, I don't know how to say the guy's name. I wish you'd listen. Israel means something. God will bless the nation that blesses Israel. And he'll curse the nation. So go ahead and our streets and come and protest for the Hamas and all the slaughters that everybody wants to slaughter. Go ahead. But this is America. Go do that in your other country. Because that bean field means something to us. The lost means something to us.
Yes.
There's a song and I can't sing and I don't know how I know it if you would sing and how the line goes. It's We Will Stand Our Ground.
Amen.
I probably should have had someone sing it. There are forces in this world today who oppose our Christian faith. They attempt to destroy everything that's holy and control what preachers say. God still has a few good men who won't bend, who won't bow, who won't burn. They'll fight to the end to defend the faith until the day the whole world learns. There are things, of course, we won't give over. There are things worth fighting for. The book and the blood and the rugged cross, one faith, one way, one Lord. Well, the world and the flesh and the devil press on and try to tear our strongholds down. We will stand our ground. This guy, Brother Peter, this guy said, this is my field. Oh, those rotten old roots are there. They've been left over. They've been harvested and they're just sitting out. Right, yeah, but it's my field.
Amen.
Well, it's just lentil. Lentils. It's like barley. It's like grain. It's like nothing to it. And it's not tomato soup and it's not clam chowder soup. It's just lentil soup. Yeah, but that ground's my ground. That last stanza says, despite what non-believers say, our God has never changed. His word still means everything it says, and now and forever the same. The world may think they've won the fight, but there are some who can still be found, who will never give in, who will never give up, but we will stand our ground.
Right. Amen.
I want to stand for these kids. I want to stand for the children in the nursery. I do think if there's not a change, persecution for God's people is coming real soon.
Amen.
We have corrupted the last 4 years faster than I've ever seen in my lifetime.
Right.
Who knows the last 4 years who's been running this country? And I don't know how you can have a fair election anymore. Every election season, we get a pile of ballots, absentee ballots from people that are either dead or no longer here, but they have this address. They live on this property. They're long gone. I don't know what kind of election we're going to have, but you're going to have to figure out what's important to you. And we're going to have to stand our ground.
Amen.
We have to stand for God. We sing, stand up for Jesus, ye soldiers of the cross. You know what I want to ask you to do? Just defend your bean field, Shama.
Thank you for listening to the audio preaching podcast from North Valley Baptist Church in Santa Clara, California, led by Pastor Jack Treiber. For more information about our ministry or to find out how to get in contact with us, visit our website at nvbc.org. May God bless you as you serve Him this week.